This is a special edition of the Slashdot.Review Weekend Summary for Sunday, November 21st, 2004.
My name is Andy McCaskey.
And I'm Annette Thompson, and this is a 10-minute summary of headlines and contributions from the past weekend to Slashdot. Today's featured GarageBand.com artists are the Clintons from Bozeman, Montana.
The lead story for the coming week comes from Prosto Alex, the tech support generation. Newsweek technology columnist Brad Stone is looking forward to the Thanksgiving dinner with his family next week, spending time in candlelit rooms, preparing holiday shopping lists, and let's admit it, fixing the folks' computer. We are the tech support generation. Our job is to troubleshoot the complex but imperfect technologies that befuddles mom and dad, veterans of the rotary phone, the record player, and the black and white cabinet television set. Next week on the annual Pilgrimage Home, we'll turn our web-trained minds and joystick-conditioned fingers to the task of rescuing our parents from bleeding-edge technology that's gone on the blink. What other products besides Google Desktop Search, SpyBot Search and Destroy, Google Toolbar, and Service Pack 2 are you preparing to install on your parents' Windows machines in the coming week, or have you been able to convert them to a Linux desktop and let them do their email and web surfing in peace?
Your Rights Online, author of Linux Patent Study, contradicts Ballmer. An anonymous reader submits to Slashdot an eWeek story following up on the recent Linux patent scare. The author of the study is contacted and says, quote, "Open source faces no more, if not less, legal risk than proprietary software. The market needs to understand that the study Microsoft is citing actually proves the opposite of what they claim it does."
You know, we've all seen articles on building a space elevator on the Earth, but Koa writes and points out that there's an article about experimenting with the moon first, since the technology we have available to us is sufficient since the moon's gravity is 1/6 that of Earth. Thus, the cable weight would require less exotic materials such as carbon nanotubes. One can make a very good argument for commercialization of space if getting materials to and from the moon's surface was vastly cheaper and easier.
Software tools of the future. An anonymous reader writes, "What are the software tools of the future going to be? It's an interesting question with many facets. Here are some important trends in design and construction tool strategy which will affect the kinds of software tools that will be developed in the future. It looks at how to improve software development efficiency through visual modeling, generating code from abstract models, and systematic reuse."
There are some innovative and productive uses of RFID tags. Roland Papa writes that when your newspapers write something about RFID tags, it's almost always about Walmart or how these tags are threatening our privacy. But they often miss important innovations brought about by this technology. For example, in Florida, RFID drives highway traffic reports on more than 200 miles of toll roads. Or take DHL, which is tracking fashion with RFID tags on more than 70 million garments in its French distribution center. Elsewhere in Texas, 28,000 students test an e-tagging system which promises better security for them. And what about RFID tags, which could prevent surgical errors, and have just been approved for use in the U.S. last week? Slashdot asked the question, what do you think? Do you think these innovations are promising a better future or not? For your convenience, Slashdot has a link to the essential details of the articles just mentioned. Slashdot has covered the proliferation of black boxes, or event data recorders, in modern automobiles that automatically record data about what the car has been doing and made it available to the police or to insurance companies and to people suing you. Slashdot has a link to yet another story about the computerized spy that's riding shotgun in your new car.
File system problems with the Trio 650s. Kiyasa Tarasov writes, "It turns out Palm One's new Trio 650 is shipping with a major problem that's causing first adopter users and developers to cancel their orders in droves. The new Trio, along with the Tungsten T5, utilizes a new FAT-based non-volatile file system. Not only is the new system much slower, as the data has to be loaded into an SDRAM chip before running, but in this file system, Palm One switched from using directly addressable storage to storage addressed in 512-byte blocks. This has caused many files to swell in size, up to 500% in some cases, such as the address book. Users, already flustered with the small 23 megabytes of available memory, when trying to sync their old data into the new device are discovering that their old data does not fit on the new Trio. What does Palm One do? Creative Commons can apply to materials other than music or images. Creative Commons licensing can be applied to browser plugins, lesson plans, or even processes for urban design. If you are a musician or artist, you can determine in advance and without intermediaries exactly how much or how little access another artist has to your work. Creative Commons is not public domain licensing, and you can preserve full commercial rights to your songs or performances. Learn more about Creative Commons licensing from the links available on slashdotreview.com.
There's a worm exploit that's been distributed by an advertising network. Zocalo writes that given a lot of Slashdot readers also check the register, it's important to note that their internet advertising provider, Falk AG, was compromised by the Vofra exploit yesterday. The Falk AG service has been suspended by the register, and the upshot is, if you visited the register yesterday morning, that would be Saturday, and if you've used IE as your browser, then you probably need to run a full virus scan to update your data files. Those of us running other browsers and something like Adblock have nothing to worry about. And it also appears that you're okay for now if you're running Service Pack 2. There's a link on Slashdot and a good security write-up about the problem. Here's a priority story associated with peer-to-peer. There's an anti-peer-to-peer law that's looming on the horizon. Adrian Lopez writes that MIT's Technology Review has a piece by Eric Helvig about pending legislation known as the Intellectual Property Protection Act. According to Helwig, the IPPA could make it illegal to skip past commercials and could criminalize the currently legal act of using the sharing capacity of iTunes. There's more information on the IPPA on the Public Knowledge website. There's a tech reporter hot on the spammer trail. G-Rish writes that technology reporter extraordinaire Mike Wendland is at it again, tracking down famous spammers. Wendland conducted the infamous interview with Alan Rowski, the alleged mega spammer, a few years ago, and his article prompted a lively discussion on Slashdot and eventually resulted in hundreds of pieces of junk postal mail flooding Rowski's million-dollar home. Now reporter Wendland is using a new tool from a service called Project Honeypot to track email address harvesters. He's posted on his technology blog this morning about catching a company that is holding itself out as a legitimate bulk mailer, but appears in fact to be sending to harvested addresses and conducting on the side other seemingly seedy businesses. Interesting stuff from a reporter with a good track record.
Private spaceflight law revived. Lord Byron II writes, in an update to an earlier Slashdot story, after the defeat of H.R. 3752, California Representative Dana Rohrabacher reintroduced the legislation as H.R. 5382. This new bill has just passed the crucial roll call vote necessary to maintain it during the lame duck session. MSNBC has more information on the bill that will enable the private spaceflight industry to take off, both literally and figuratively.
Well, it's official. There's a stuttering bug in Half-Life 2. Centero423 writes that due to recent complaints on several forums, Steam Powered announced that they're working on a fix to the stuttering problem in Half-Life 2. Usually a game bug isn't newsworthy, but the sporadic nature of this bug makes the writer to Slashdot wonder who else is having problems with Half-Life 2 pausing or skipping. There's a link to a site that outlines the problems certain users are having in a very clear and concise manner, and also includes some stopgap solutions from Eric Johnson and other Valve employees. Does the fun ever start? Sure does. A big shout out of thanks to Eric Schultz in Round Rock, Texas. He's got a great story in his blog about DVD players, an expose on Western Auto Stores, The Untold Story. Also, hello to August Jackson at augustjackson.net with an interesting article on two sides of the corporate blogging world and some personal thoughts. And a thanks to Steve Holden for the pointer to Bidlet. I'm investigating and will keep you posted. Thank you.
Writing code for spacecraft. Cowboy Robot writes into Slashdot, in an article subtitled, "And You Think Your Operating System Needs to Be Reliable?", Q has an interview with the developer of the OS that runs on the Mars rovers. Mike Delaman, Chief Engineer of Operating Systems at Wind River Systems, has quotes like, "Writing the code for spacecraft is no harder than for any other real-time life or mission-critical application. The thing that is hard is debugging a problem from another planet." The operating system and kernel fit in less than 2 megabytes. The rest of the code, plus data space, eventually exceeded 30 megabytes. Thanks for listening to the Slashdot Review Weekend Edition for Sunday, November 21st, 2004. My name is Annette Thompson.
And this is Andy McCaskey.
We have no affiliation with Slashdot, other than as regular readers, and offer this material and under other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike license, as detailed on slashdotreview.com.
Slashdot Review Audio is published Monday through Friday, and occasionally with a summary on Sunday. Today's featured album track is from a GarageBand.com artist, The Clintons. You can find more music from this artist at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.
Same cliche, I woke up today. Needed in my system, not surprised to pay. Tell you about a blondie who was really hot. Tell you how she broke me, but I'd rather not. Instead, I'll tell you about my trip to Vegas, hanging out on the strip. I tried my hand at poker, but I lost my grip. Had a few too many, now my brain's gone soft. Maybe fear and loving wasn't too far off. It's got a stranglehold on me. It's got a stranglehold on me. While I think it's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine. And today I'm not a fan of the bean. I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean. There's no real emergency, so why this sense of urgency? Day can't keep going without it. It's a love, hate, hate, love, love, hate thing. So I bust up the whoop and stick and step outside. A Mustang full of ladies goes cruising by. Stereo's pumping up the B&L mix, but I can't chase them till I get my fix. It's got a stranglehold on me. It's got a stranglehold on me. While I think it's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine. And today I'm not a fan of the bean. It's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine. And today I'm not a fan of the bean. It's got a stranglehold on me. 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 I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean. I think it's obscene, I'm addicted to caffeine, and today I'm not a fan of the bean. Oh, no, no, today I'm not a fan of the bean.